1 John 5:11, God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in Him. Nahum 1:7. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Jonah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Jonah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to focus our minds upon these eternal truths. We're thankful indeed that you have given us so many blessings in life. We're the recipients of your grace. We thank you for it. We're the recipients of salvation because we realize that we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He's accepted us. Therefore, salvation is ours. Not because of anything we've done, not because of our goodness, but totally because of the magnificent grace of God providing salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to study. We pray that these moments will be for us very important moments as we focus our attention upon these eternal truths. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking up our scripture with verse 5 of Jonah chapter 4. Then Jonah went out from the city, sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. Verse 6, so the Lord appointed a plant. It grew up over Jonah to be the shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. Verse 7, but God appointed a worm. When dawn came the next day, it attacked the plant and it withered. Verse 8, and it came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Verse 9, then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? He said, I have good reason to be angry, even to death. Then on Wednesday night, we'll be looking at the last two verses. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight, perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many cattle? If we look back at verse 7, you'll remember that we said, verse 7 says, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. We have emphasized the fact that the provision now is gone, so that Jonah will focus his attention not on the provision, but on the provider. And I will remind all of us today that it's very important to keep our eyes focused upon the provider and not upon the provisions. The provision now for him is gone, so that Jonah will focus his attention not on the provision, but the provider. The one who provided the provision also provided the affliction. He that gave took it away. We've already reviewed this, but let's look at it again. Oftentimes we expect too much from the creature comforts. We should rely totally on the eternal comforter. God did not send an angel to pull up the gourd, that little thing, probably invisible to Jonah. That little worm cut the root, made it wither. Still there, but doing him no good. Still there is a reminder of the insignificance of the temporary compared to that which is lasting. All of us must realize that there's a difference between those things which are rather insignificant and temporary compared to those things which are eternal and lasting. That brings us then to our verses for today at this session, verses 8 and 9. Let me read those verses again. It came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Verse 9 says, "Then God said to Jonah, 'Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?' He said, 'I have good reason to be angry, even to death.'" Now let's notice, please, verse 8 says, "It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind." I've mentioned over and over again that you will find God appointed, God appointed, God appointed. Now you will see that it says that God prepared a vehement east wind. Then it goes on to say the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Perhaps I need to remind us today that the east wind was not like an old-time funeral home fan. I want to take you back for a few moments to my boyhood days. When I grew up, I'm sure that you are aware of the fact that many homes did not have air conditioning. Our home did not have air conditioning. We had the air conditioning that was the result of having a funeral home fan. Now, I'm aware of the fact that when I say that, most of you are saying, "Well, you're so old, you can talk about things like this, but we don't know anything about it because we have no idea what you're talking about when you talk about funeral home fans." The funeral homes would furnish fans to the church, and so we didn't have air conditioning in the churches, and so we would fan while the preacher preached. Not that his preaching was all that hot, but we would fan anyway. And then many of these fans would make their way to our homes, and at night, because we had no air conditioning and because it was very hot at night, we would fan until we fell asleep and the fan would drop. So the east wind here was not like an old-time funeral home fan to abate the heat, but rather like the bellows scorching fire at the old-time blacksmith shop. And perhaps most of you are aware of the fact that you, at one time or the other, have been to a sideshow at a museum or somewhere where you've seen a blacksmith shop and the bellowing, scorching fire coming from that old-time blacksmith shop. So I wanted you to see that the wind that we're talking about here is not like the wind that would come off of the funeral home fan to abate the heat, but rather the billows of scorching fire at the old-time blacksmith shop. So we discover that in the light of this situation, Jonah now wishes himself dead. When I got to this point, I typed in capital letters, "The gourd's dead. Kill me." That's what Jonah is saying. And when I thought about that, I wrote what I believe should have been written, "Foolish Jonah, thinking his life is bound up in the life of a weed." Now, you have to think about this with me. Jonah thinks his life is bound up in the life of a weed. And as I thought about this, I felt like I needed to tell you that if you're going to write one sentence from the message today, you need to write this particular sentence. "One who loves to complain is never left without something about which to complain." Now, I want you to see what I'm saying. That's the message title you'll notice in the bulletin. If a person desires to complain, they're going to find something about which to complain. Have you ever been around people who just complain about everything? I mean, if the sun is shining, it's too hot. If it's not shining, then things are too cold. It's either too rainy or not rainy enough. Complain, complain, complain. People are always complaining. And so I want you to see that I'm trying to emphasize here that one who loves to complain is never left without something about which to complain. That is exactly what's happening here to Jonah. Passions that run into an extreme one way, commonly run into an extreme the other way. We've noticed this over and over again. We discover that Jonah is exceedingly glad when he saw the gourd. Now he's exceedingly sorrowful when it's gone. So if you're going to complain, you're going to find something about which to complain. And that's what we have here. So looking upon this, I put exceedingly sorrowful when it was gone. And then I drew this conclusion for you. Inordinate affection lays a foundation for inordinate affliction. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? Let's look at it again. Inordinate affection lays a foundation for inordinate affliction. Well, to explain that, I put it like this. What we are over fond of when we have it, we're apt to be over grieving over it when we don't have it. Now, that's exactly not the way I said it here, but I'm going to read now what I said. What we are over fond of when we have it, we're apt to over grieve for when we lost it. I believe that is true. Oftentimes, if we become so enamored with things, the insignificant things of this life, when those things happen to disappear, we're going to overgrieve over those things which we've lost. Now let's reread verse 8. It came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint, begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Rapidly moving now to verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" In other words, what we have here, God said to Jonah, "Do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant?" And Jonah came back with this answer. "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Now, I want you to watch carefully the words. It's amazing. God said to Jonah, "Are you doing great? Are you doing well to be angry for the gourd?" And he responded, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Now, what I notice here is when afflicting providences deprive us, we're to turn to the comforting provider. It's important for you to see that when difficulties and burdens and trials and death come our way, when afflicting providences deprive us, we're to turn to the comforting provider. We've been keeping in touch almost hourly and day by day with Pat in relationship to the fact that his brother has been on life support. Then life supports have been removed. And so we're continuing to get messages. It's amazing to see how Pat is able to understand in relationship to God's plan. He expresses appreciation to the communication of God's word over the many years that prepares him for this particular time in his life, in relationship to the homegoing of his brother, making plans for a memorial service here in this church in the future. We do not know just exactly how long he will last, even now that the life supports have been removed. But it's amazing to me to see how fantastic Pat is able to analyze this whole situation and put his focus on the Lord rather than on the circumstances. What we are over fond of when we have it, we're apt to over grieve for when we've lost it. God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" He said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Notice again, when afflicting providences deprive us, we're to turn to the comforting provider. I've analyzed this and I wanted to share with you. If you'll notice, I put down here a first-class conditional clause. If God could provide the first gourd so rapidly, what makes us, or what made Jonah, think that he could not do it again? You notice I misspelled the word, but anyway, God could provide the first gourd, and he did so rapidly. What makes Jonah think that he couldn't do it again? The gourd is gone, but who's left? Are you all with me? Do you see that when difficulty and burdens and death come our way, someone is gone. The things that we've looked upon are now no longer with us. But who's left? God has left. And God promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The gourd is gone. But God is not left. So Jonah here justifies his discontent. He justifies his anger. And I want you to stay with me and see this, because it was amazing to me to be able to look into Jonah's heart and see what was going on. He says, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Notice what we notice here. Death and sin are two dreadful things. Yet Jonah, in his anger, makes light of them both. I need to repeat this about 7 times for you to be able to see what I'm trying to share with you. Jonah here is justifying his discontent. He's justifying his anger toward God. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we will try to justify our discontent and our anger toward God. Why did God do this? Why did God let that happen to me? All of us, of course, at times will face things like this. Here we have Jonah. And so what's Jonah going to do? He's trying to justify his discontent. He's trying to justify his anger. He says, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Stay with me. Death and sin are two dreadful things. Yet Jonah, in anger, makes light of them both. At this point, I want you to see, Jonah has very little regard for God as he flies into the face of God. He flies into the face of authority. Jonah is saying, "I have a right to be mad." Ready now. Jonah speaks in haste. And if we fly into the face of God, we speak in haste. Really now, Jonah is speaking in haste with no regard for God or man. That brings me to Job chapter 5, verse 2, which speaks of wrath that kills the foolish man and envy that slays the silly one. Now you can see that on Wednesday night we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11. But this brings me to the close of the message by telling you that some of you are aware of the fact that the president of Southwestern Seminary is Paige Patterson. Years and years ago, we all knew and still know Paige Patterson, who has now come to be the president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I receive the news information from Southwestern because I have 2 degrees from there. Years and years and years ago, I graduated from Southwestern Seminary, having spent 3 years to get a Bachelor of Divinity degree. 3 years it took at that time to get a BD degree, and then 2 more years to get a THM. But anyway, I looked through the paper and I saw an article that I want to share with you from Paige Patterson. It's interesting because this article takes us back to when Paige Patterson was 19 years of age, preaching at Memorial Baptist Church here in Baytown. So I thought I would just remind you of that before I read the article. He has a picture of a man that grew up in Baytown, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but I'm going to read it to you. His first name is Leroy. The last name is K-R-O-L-C-Z-Y-K. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Doesn't matter. I just want you to know that some of you, the reason I'm reading it is some of you may have known this particular boy who grew up in Baytown and was saved a number of years ago. Dr. Patterson says, while sitting in the Mobile, Alabama airport, my phone began to ring. Not a good sign on Sunday evening. Answering, my wife said through her tears, Leroy, and this guy, just transferred from home to glory. Many who read this would not know Leroy, but he was precious to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and especially to precious to me. After he served with his wife Sharon for a quite number of years as a minister of music in our churches, he joined the staff of Houston Baptist University, and then later Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I'm not going to read all of this information, but I wanted you to see. When I learned from my wife that Leroy was gone, I cried, I wept. But when I was flooded with a memory so sweet that I thought I heard angels singing. Suddenly, I was 19 years of age again. He says, I was just walking on the platform of Memorial Baptist Church in Baytown, Texas, to preach the evening revival service. It was 6:15 p.m., and I was a few minutes early to begin the service at 6:30 p.m. Then it hit me. I had attempted to share my faith with a young man that afternoon. He was from a Roman Catholic background, but was most curious about Jesus. He informed me that he could not talk then, but that he finished work at 5 o'clock. He asked me to come by his house. I said to him, I will be there at 6 p.m. Then, may God have mercy on my soul, I forgot. I was walking on the platform at 6:15, Memorial Baptist Church. The Lord suddenly brought Leroy back to my mind. What would I do? By the time I got to his house and shared a few moments with him, it would be time for me to be preaching at Memorial Baptist Church, and all the saints would wonder why the evangelist wasn't there. Well, it was just another kid, I thought. He probably would not have been home anyway. Surely to stay and preach to a large gathered congregation was more important. I sat down in the cushioned platform chair on the Memorial Baptist Church and opened my Bible, but I could not shake the vision in my mind and heart. God seemed to say, you promised Leroy you would come. What need have I for a preaching evangelist who is not a man of his word? Go now, and someday you will be a thankful man. Approaching Pastor Ed Teeley, I said, Pastor, I made a terrible mistake. It makes me want to cry. I must go and make it right. Paige Patterson said to Dr. Ed Teeley, please have the people sing until I return. I drove to the address that Leroy had provided. Sitting on the front porch, there sat Leroy. I was about to give up on you, he said. I thought you'd forgotten me. I told him the truth. I did forget you. Please forgive me. But God reminded me, and though the service is already underway, I had to come here. Oh, what a glorious night. On that night, Leroy invited Christ to be his Savior. On that day, he set a course that would change the lives of hundreds for good and for God. Now in the airport, I missed him greatly. He was taken from us, I thought, so soon. But then I remembered the delinquent witness who almost did not go to Leroy. And I wept once more as I thanked God that he would not let me forget. And I also realized anew that this is precisely how God intends evangelization to take place. Not preaching to massive crowds, but the personal word of love and salvation. This is what God has purposed to use. Please, precious Lord, never let me forget again. And please, Lord, may our people recover this vision. Farewell, sweet brother Leroy. I know that it is only for a while, and when I approach you, you're going to be waiting for me on the porch of heaven. Isn't that something? It happened here in Baytown when Paige Patterson was 19 years of age over at Memorial Baptist Church. It's amazing to me for us to be reminded of the fact that we have responsibility to give out the good news of salvation. We never know what's going to happen as we're faithful in doing what God wants us to do. We're going to see again in the life of Jonah that there were times when he was on the top and there were times when he was on the bottom. There were times when he was obeying, there were times when he was not obeying. But when we come to the close on Wednesday night, we're going to be able to tell you that we know for sure that something happened in the life of Jonah, and I'll repeat it at that time. We wouldn't have the book of Jonah in the completed canon of Scripture if it were not for the fact that God chose to use him in a very, very special way. And God wants to use you and me in a very special way. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Thank you, Father, for the challenge of your word. We've been made to realize again that every day we have responsibility to give out the good news of the gospel of salvation to individuals. We do not know just how you're going to use us, but help us to be willing to be used. Help us to understand that there are people out there who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. We have the responsibility of sharing the gospel of salvation with those with whom you allow us to meet on a day-by-day basis. We thank you for your grace blessings. And as we close this service today, we would ask that those who hear the message, perhaps who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would do that right now. We know that when God loved, he loved the world. And that when Jesus Christ came to this earth and was willing to go to the cross, he was willing to die for everyone. So we have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension, the fact that Jesus Christ sits at the Father's right hand right now to come into people's lives if they'll only trust you. We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. And we thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like the grass withers and fades away. All flesh is like the grass withers and fades away. The glory of man, like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. The glory of man, like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. But the word of the Lord endures. the grass withers and fades away. All flesh is like the grass withers and fades away. The glory of man like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. The glory of man like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. But the word